Now, one of the things we kind of stumbled upon in the parables was this. Almost everything that Jesus taught goes back to something that we found to be core, critical, essential, and that is you cannot mix the old covenant with the new covenant. Jesus taught again and again and again, and he said, listen, I have come to bring a new covenant. I'm bringing a new thing. He says, I'm going to fulfill the law. I'm going to cause it to accomplish its purpose. Don't you feel fulfilled when you're accomplishing your purpose in life? Jesus said, I'm going to fulfill the law. And he said, the old covenant's going to go away. I'm going to bring you a brand new covenant established with my blood. It's with his sacrifice, his life. So Jesus comes, brings the new covenant, and it's a brand new world. Okay, so as he does that, he says something very important about the old wineskins and new wine. Okay, now let me just go over that for 30 seconds because it's going to play back in later. Jesus said you can't take new wine and put it in an old wineskin. And he gave it as an illustration. You can't take an unshrunk patch of cloth and sew it under an old garment, because then when it shrinks, it'll tear away and tear the whole garment. So he said, you also can't put new wine in old wineskin. You know, wineskins, basically, were skins. They were made like out of the bladders of animals and that kind of thing. And so they were stretchy. They were stretchy pants. They were had elasticity. And so Jesus said, you know, you get an old one, and it's already stretched, and it's aged, and it's not going to stretch anymore. It becomes older and brittle. He said, if you put new wine in there, that wine is not through fermenting yet. It's going to give off all these gases that are going to stretch the old wineskin. Well, it's not stretchy, so it's going to burst, and you're going to lose the wine, you're going to lose the old wineskin, everything. So Jesus said, you got to put new wine in new wineskins. Okay, now, we said a few weeks ago, over the years, that's been defined 1,000 different ways. Well, I know what that is. That's a new anointing, or it's a new way of doing church. Or it is Joel's army of global intercessors of the last day activators. No. It's the new covenant. It is the blood of the new covenant being held in the old covenant system or mindset. And Jesus said, you can't mix the two. If you do, you will lose the benefits of both of them. Because he said, basically, the old wineskin's going away anyway. And it did in 70 AD when Jerusalem was sacked and the temple was torn down. The old wineskin wasn't even usable anymore. Jesus said, you got to hold the new wine and new wineskin. Okay, so here's what I believe this means for us, everybody. I believe God is doing something significant in us. I felt for a few months now that the Lord wants to reveal to us more about what our inheritance is in the new covenant. What really is ours? What blessings are ours? What rights and privileges, what belongs to us that we are to be using for the advance of his kingdom, what is ours in the new covenant? But listen, here's what we found out. We are still working more than we ever thought with an old wineskin. And for years, for all my life, I'll say it to you, I'm almost 50 years old, been a Christian for almost 50 of those years. Now, I got saved when I was 7 years old, and I got to tell you, for all my life, I've been trying to put the new wine in an old wineskin. And now the Lord's given me a new wineskin. See, and until, here's the thing, everybody, until we can absolutely do away with the old wineskin, we won't have anywhere to put the new wine, the understanding of the new covenant. And so I believe God has been trying to communicate to his church with the fullness of the new covenant that we are in. But we hadn't been able to handle it because every time we get it, we try to put in the old wineskin and it runs out. So what is the old wineskin? Here it is. Listen. It is the old covenant system, that old mindset that says you have to rely on your obedience to the Mosaic law in order to gain God's approval and favor and blessing. That's the old covenant. That's the old wineskin, the old mindset, that it is your obedience to the law that brings you righteousness. That you are being judged against the standard of the law, and you, how well you measure up depends on, determines how righteous you are. Now, here's what we've done. We have read the New Testament. We've read Paul's letters. We've read Jesus. We've read the other writers. And here's what we've said. We have read where Paul has said, you are now not under the law anymore. And we've read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, man, well, I have preached this so many times and led people to Christ with this, as have many of you. For by grace you are saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We thank God for that. That we are saved, we are delivered from our life of sin. We are brought into the kingdom of God by His grace. And here's what we've told people in the evangelical church in America in the 20th and 21st centuries especially. We have told people, listen, you can't get there by works. Actually, we've said this since Martin Luther came along and nailed his 99 theses to the Wittenberg door. We've said, okay, salvation is by grace alone, by putting your faith in Christ. And that's how we are born again. And listen, probably everybody in this room would agree with that. Yes, we know we're not saved by our works. We know we're not redeemed. We're not made new by going to church or by praying enough or by reading our Bible enough. There's nothing you could do to be good enough. Absolutely. But here's what we've done. We've said, okay, Mark, I will agree with you that I'm not saved by obeying the Mosaic law, the law that came through Moses that governed the Jewish people under the Old Covenant. Everybody with me so far? We would agree. Mark, I know that's not how I got saved. I got saved by grace. But then here's what we've done. We stopped applying grace right there, except for when we sin. So the only time we apply grace is when we sin, because we know that, okay, there's enough grace in this whole transaction. God has given me enough. There's enough grace left over where now I can be forgiven and I can try again. And so what happens is grace becomes this thing that we use when we sin to say, okay, it helps me get up out of the dust and get back on my feet so I can try harder next time. God, thank you for your grace that forgives what I just did so I can try harder today. That's how we use grace. And that's all we use grace for. And then, though, we see where Paul writes in Galatians and he says, listen, those of you who are trying to be justified by the law, you have been alienated. You've been cut off from Christ, and now you have fallen from grace. And so over the years, we said, well, what does fall from grace mean? Well, it means one of two things. In some camps, fall from grace means backsliding. It means I'm living a life of sin and I know better. And I've known God, but now I'm choosing to live in my sin, and everybody knows it, and they say, oh, Mark, yeah, boy, he used to be close to Jesus. Now he's fallen from grace. He's living over there going to bars and all that. Okay. But then you have other camps like I grew up in. I thank God for my Southern Baptist heritage. I really do. Thank God for it. But for us, it was kind of fall from grace meant lose your salvation. So what we said was, you can't fall from grace. A friend of mine said, you know, I can't fall from grace because I didn't climb there to start with. And that sounded pretty good. Till I realized it's absolutely not what the Scripture means by falling from grace. Because Paul says, now watch, here's the thing. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. And all this is context. You see, Mark, hadn't you said all this last couple of weeks? Yep, and I'll probably say it again next week. Because until we chop and hack up the old wineskin and completely get it out of the way, we can't hold the new covenant. So we got to do everything we do to trample this old wineskin, and we got to put it through a shredder. We got to get rid of this deal. And that old wineskin is the law. And Paul says, now you're under grace, you're not under the law. Now here's what we've done where we've made a mistake. We have said grace is for salvation, and it's periodically for when we sin after we get saved, but that's all it's for. That's all it gets me. Paul says this, though, taught in the Galatians. He says, foolish Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, gotten saved by grace, now, watch, now why are you trying to be perfected, to be made mature in the flesh, on your own works? He says, don't you know that you are under grace? You are not under the law. All right. Now, what was going on in Galatia? The church in Galatia was happening. These Gentile believers had come to faith in Christ. The gospel had been preached to them. They were not Jews, but they had believed in Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God who had come into the world. And now they got saved. Church started. Paul leaves town, and a group called the Judaizers come in, who come to these Gentiles, and they say, okay, everybody, now that you have received our Messiah, now you need to get Jewish like us. And so all you men need to be circumcised. That's a disturbing announcement. understandably, they were not real quick to say yes to that. And so Paul writes back and he says, no. Listen, everybody, here's the thing. Basically, what Paul says in this whole letter of Galatians is, you don't have to get more Jewish for God to love you more. In other words, what he's saying is, all of the favor and the blessings of God are on you now because of what Jesus has done. You can't add to it. You cannot add the old covenant in and mix it with the new covenant that now you're in. You can't take the Jewishness of the old covenant, the law, because the law said you got to be circumcised. That's it. So Paul says you can't add that in. You cannot mix the two. The same thing Jesus said all through the Gospels. You can't mix the old and the new. All right. Now, we're starting to unfold it because I'm laying all the groundwork to say what I'm about to say. This is what led us a couple of weeks ago to say this statement. And again, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to say it again. Here's the deal. You don't have to obey the Ten Commandments. Now, again, the doors are locked, so keep your seat. But what that means, the doors are not locked, by the way. What that means is you are not, see, we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we, under the law or not, obligated to serve the law? So let me ask you that. Are we under the law or not? No. The Bible's very clear. We are not under the law. We are free from the law. We are not under the law to serve the law. Now, here's the point, though. In the old covenant, they were under the law because they had no internal presence by which they could hear the voice of God, know the heart of God, and know internally how to live in such a way that God is pleased with that. So they had to have the externals, because the Holy Spirit didn't come until Pentecost. They were not indwelt by the Holy Spirit in the old covenant. So to keep them in line, they had to have the law. So the law then was a governor until the time of Christ. Okay. So here's what this means. Here's what we've done, though, is we have put ourselves back up under the law, because we've said we get saved by grace, but the Ten Commandments are now our new moral code of ethics, and we have to live by the Ten Commandments. So, everybody, you're saved by grace, but you better not steal. You better not have any other gods before Him. You better not covet. You better not lie. You better not commit adultery. You better not do all those things, and we're going to be watching you to make sure you don't. And so the church's job then has become a taskmaster to say, okay, you didn't get saved by what you can do, but doggone it, you're going to act saved by what you can do. See, so what we've done is we put people back up under a law. But here's the difference, though. We have said, in essence, with our lives, we've said, okay, Mark, I know we're not under the Mosaic law. I know we don't have to keep all the Jewish laws. I can mix my fabrics if I want to. Leviticus says you can't wear two different kinds of fabrics. Why? Mixture. You can't mix the old and the new. Okay, so Leviticus says a whole lot of stuff. I mean, there's a lot in there about Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Numbers, okay, what to do if your bull gores your neighbor's servant? Okay, well, what do we do? Well, let's go back to the law. But listen, if you have an internal presence of God in you that is causing you to love your neighbor, then you'll know what to do if your bull gores his servant. You don't need the law to tell you. Y'all, listen, we're getting there. Listen, you don't have to have the law to tell you how to live if you have the Holy Spirit that tells you how to live. It's starting to dawn now. So this is what I mean when I say you don't have to obey the Ten Commandments, because now the Ten Commandments are not designed to restrain you. They're designed to describe you. So now in the New Covenant, here's what the Ten Commandments mean. You will not have any other gods before me. I just know you won't. I'm going to put it in you so that you will not covet. I'm going to put my Spirit in your heart. I will write my law in your hearts. And what's going to happen is with your life, you will not commit adultery. You will not steal. You will not lie. You see, why? Now they describe us. They don't constrain us. They don't keep us in line, keep us in the bag. Now, see, this is why we said last week, Proverbs 29:18, we've always loved this verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint and they run wild. And what it's so often what we're preaching toward in America is a restraint. So we want to put people back under the law so they'll be restrained again. When the good news is, a restrained life is not the life Jesus died for you to live. The opposite of restrained is free. And again and again and again, Paul says, you're not under the law, you're free from it. So why then do we get people saved by grace and then put them right back under the law? But here's what we've done. We have taken the teachings of Jesus and we have made them into a new law. Because we've said, okay, we're done with the Mosaic law. Great, done with that. But Jesus gave a lot of commands too. And in fact, I've got a little book in my office I ordered years ago by Bill Gothard called The 50 Commands of Christ. And it's got all the imperatives of Jesus. Do this, don't do that. Can't you read the signs? Okay, so do this, do that, do that. Okay, it's the imperatives, the commands of Christ. Listen to you. Listen to me. Listen. Oh, I have good news for you. Jesus did not die to set you free from the law just to give you another law that you couldn't keep. He didn't give his life to set you free from a law you couldn't keep just to give you another law you couldn't keep. That you couldn't live up to and you would not measure up. He didn't do that. So here's what we're going to be exploring. I got a feeling over the next over the next few weeks or months or years. I got a feeling we're going to be exploring what were those things Jesus said if they weren't new commands. If they weren't new commandments, what were they? We're going to find out. But I know this though. There is one point, I love this, where Jesus is teaching, his disciples are there. And everybody wants a commandment from him. And basically he says, okay, listen, all you guys are so hot, you're so addicted to commandments. You want a commandment? I'll give you one. Here, love one another like I've loved you. Go ahead. Good luck with that. And when you've done that one, maybe I'll give you another. See, Jesus said, you want a commandment? Fine, I'll give you a commandment. Love one another like I've loved you. There you go. See, you understand, Jesus was not interested in putting a new law on people that they couldn't live up to. What Jesus came to do was not make people better, but he didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people live. See, he came to make bound people free. He didn't come to tie us up again with a whole other law. Now, here's what I'm going to say. This is disturbing for me. This is hard for me to say, but I'm going to say it. Okay, I wasn't going to, but Brad said to, so here we go. All right, thank you, Brad. I was waiting for permission. Here's the deal. We look at, there's something about us, there's something about me, I have to tell you. One thing that just flies all over me is when people don't, when they think the rules don't apply to them. I was at Walmart a couple days ago, and I pulled in, waited for my parking space, got in my parking space, and I'm walking to the door, and a man and a woman, older than me, but in this little sports car, zip in, and they parked in one of these places at the end of the row that's all striped, you know, under the light post, and they park right there in the stripes because their car fit. Well, that's not right. You can't park there. I had to walk further. No. And I tackled them on the way in the store. And I keyed their car. No, I didn't really. Just so you know, new people. Are you serious? Did he really do that? But I saw the whole thing happen in my mind. I envisioned it. Now, here's the thing. I hate that. I can't stand that thing when people don't play by the rules. Anybody else like that? All right. So what we say is this. Listen, nobody is above the law. Well, let me tell you something. That may be true when it comes to the laws of our land, our constitution, our legal. Okay. But when it comes to freedom in Christ, say, Mark, you're not above the law. Well, I'm not under it. If we are not under the law, where are we? Now, again, this is hard for me to say. It makes my heart palpitate a little bit. Because we have, you know, we have lawmen in the room. So here's the deal. Here, let me say this. When it comes to life in Christ, I am above the law. Now, it's, again, that's scary for us to hear because it makes us say, what does that mean? You're going to just go do whatever you want to do now? Listen, if the law was taken off the books today that made stealing illegal, what would keep me from stealing? The Holy Spirit saying to me that that would not please the heart of my Father. Right? So now it's not the external law that governs my life. It is the internal law of love. It's the love I have for my Father. It's the love I have for that store owner who's going to lose money if I steal from him. But because I love him or her, I love them and I want them to be blessed, I'm not going to steal from them. So listen, I can be above the law as long as I'm walking by the Spirit. I'm going to say something else. It's going to be hard. Here you go. We haven't even gotten to Galatians yet, have we?
No.
We have to do all this before we get there, though. Listen. We are not under the law. Do we, therefore, have a license to sin? Technically, yes, we do. Now, that doesn't make it okay. Listen. Listen, everybody. Okay. Y'all follow me here. Get me. You are no longer restrained by the law. You are free to choose to sin. And if you do, you have an advocate with the Father. And if we sin, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You are free to choose to sin if you want to. In fact, I got to tell you, that's the only reason Christians ever sin. It's because they want to. Because it's not your nature to sin now. See, now it's your nature with a new covenant, with a new heart. It's your nature to please the Father. It's your nature now to protect your Father's heart and to protect the hearts of your brothers and your neighbors. That's your nature. That's what comes natural to you. So if you sin, it's just because you want to. You kind of have to make yourself do it. Okay. So now watch, here's the deal. Do you have a license to sin? You do. You're free to sin. The question is, will you? Do you see what I'm saying? Listen, when Paul got this question in Romans, he said, at the end, in one of the chapters of Romans, he said, okay, we are not under the law. Is that therefore a license to sin? He didn't really answer it. He just said, God forbid. What he's saying is, God forbid that we would see that as permission to sin and go do it. You see, because the idea is this. Whew, are y'all with me? Because here's the deal. If you say you're not under the law, the logical conclusion is you are free to sin. But so if you take that freedom to sin and you go out and run wild and sin, what that means is you're lacking the internal governor, the internal life that is supposed to bring you into a life of pleasing God so that you don't run out and sin just because you can. Y'all with me so far? All right. So the thing is, listen, if I'm James Bond and I have a license to kill, must I kill? No. Will I? Probably so. Yes. If I have a license to kill, I may. But, listen, I can have a license to drive. What that means is I'm free to drive. Does that mean it may be the best thing for me to go drive? Not if I'm a good bad driver. So the thing is, a license basically said, listen, wow. Here's what a license says. A license says, if you do this thing, there is no legal punishment for you for doing it. A hunting license lets me shoot at something, lets me at least sit in the woods. Because that's really, that's not even hunting, that's just waiting. So, but Okay, a hunting license lets me hunt without, watch, without fear that the law will punish me for doing it. You see? A license lets me do something without fear that I will be punished by the law for it. Watch. If you are not under the law, what that means is, now guys, this is going to get freeing for us. What that means is, you are not, your life is no longer being measured by the law. God is not evaluating your goodness based on the law. He has thrown that book out the window. Now, He is looking at your life covered in the righteousness of Jesus that now has been given to you. So what that means is, watch, there's a new law in town. You know what that law is? Love. Love is the law of the new covenant. Jesus said, you want a new commandment? I'll give you a commandment. Love. Somebody said, what's the greatest commandment? He said, you know what the greatest commandment is? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the close second, love your neighbor as yourself. On those two hang all the law and the prophets. All right, now let's go to Galatians. Look at chapter 5, verse 13. For you are called to be free, brothers. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. See, listen, you can, everybody, you can use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but don't. And if you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. At that point, the Ten Commandments will describe you. The law will describe you. It won't constrain you. You're free to live a life that looks like you're obeying the law, but you're not. You're obeying a higher law, a law of love. So Paul says, don't use this opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through what? Love. For the entire law is fulfilled in one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. What? Listen to what he's saying. The entire law, in other words, everything that you have to do for God to be pleased with you is wrapped up in this. Now listen, Paul is talking to people who have already gotten saved by grace through faith. He's not talking to people who haven't heard the gospel yet. He's talking to the church. And he is saying to, listen, we have been quick to say to everybody, you're not under the law when it comes to being saved. But what Paul is saying to the church is, now you guys are not required to obey the law anymore. And Paul's referring to everything that would make you think that what you do determines how much God loves you. It's not what you do. It's what Jesus has done. Listen, and he says in Ephesians, we now have received every spiritual blessing. Are there any more blessings than every? Anything left over that's not included in that? We have received every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Period. It's yours. All the blessing and favor and pleasure of God rests on you, not because you were good at keeping the law, not because you were good at obeying everything Jesus said, not because you were good and better than the guy next to you. It's because Jesus fulfilled it all, and He gave as a gift His righteousness to you. What in the world are we going to do with that? Thank God, thank God, thank God. Guys, that's salvation by grace through faith. But now the point is, we have to, see, here's the old wineskin. The old wineskin is, okay, we get saved through grace, but we have to get perfected by being obedient. Let me tell you, I don't know, I wish I could Google right now and find out how many preachers are preaching today on obedience. Because we have made this the new law for the new covenant. in our lifetime. We have said, okay, here's how God measures you now. God is pleased with you or not pleased with you based on your level of obedience to what he said in the New Testament. So we say, Mark, fine, you can have the Old Testament. Take it. Okay, but now you got New Testament. You got 50 commands of Christ, and we got to obey. And now, and God speaks to us by the Holy Spirit. When he tells us to do something, we better do it. And if we don't obey, God's mad. If we don't obey, we have fallen from grace. No. If we make our standard of success with God obeying, now we've fallen from grace. At that point, we've mixed old covenant and new. See, Paul said that's what falling from grace is. He said you're living at a lower level than the level of grace. See, if you mix in law, you're living lower than grace. You have fallen to a lower level. Yeah, this is some, I don't know if you know that, and maybe it's just me, but this is some fairly radical thinking that's going on here. And again, the question, Mark, can't we always believe this? Well, yeah, partly, but no. Because we've still made obedience the standard of righteousness in the church. And so what we've done then is we've taken other things that were never meant to be laws, and we've made laws out of them. We take, I'm just going to show you one right now. I just have to do it. Turn to Romans. I just got to show you this. I didn't want to. I wasn't going to, but I will. But I have to be obedient. All right. Romans 7, verse 1. Here's what we've done. Let me show you how we have done this. Everybody, this is just wrong. It's just wrong. God, have mercy on us. Romans 7. Listen, in Romans 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, all this, Paul is going through this whole deal, and this is not the last time we're going to visit these passages. But Paul is going through this whole thing we're talking about. You are not under the law. Now, because of grace, because of Jesus, you are not being measured by God, evaluated by God against the law. Now, you understand something. Let me tell you something. Jesus had some very harsh words for the Pharisees. Here's what he told the Pharisees. He said, do you know what you guys are doing? You tie this huge load onto people's backs, the law, and then you won't lift a finger to help them carry it. This is what he meant when he said, you go all over the world trying to make one convert to the law, and when you do, you make him twice the son of hell you are. That's not your sweet, gentle shampoo model Jesus that we've seen pictures of over the years. He's talking about you bind these people up to law. And then he said this. He said, you know what else you do? You lock up the kingdom of God and you don't go in and you don't let anybody else go in either. Listen, basically, here's what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees. He's, listen, all right, here, let me tell you. If you want to be measured by the law, if you want to be, here's the deal. If you want to measure the life of other people, if you want to evaluate their righteousness based on their level of obedience to the law, fine. You just need to know that to the same measure you judge them, you're going to be judged too. You want to live by the law? Fine. You'll be measured by the law. You want to do that? All right. Listen, what he's saying to the Pharisees and us, I believe, today, if you like the law so much, this whole system, oh, here we go. God have mercy. This whole system of do's and don'ts and rules and regulations and how do we know how obedient people have been. If you like that thing so much, you love that system, fine, live by that system. But one day you're going to find that you couldn't measure up either. And the judgment of God's going to fall on your head. You want to live by the law? Fine. You'll be judged by the law. You want to judge other people and look at their lives and evaluate how obedient they are to what you think of? Fine, you'll be judged by the same thing. But there's a way out. And by his blood, by his sacrifice, he said, you know what? If you want, you can be delivered from that whole system. And I'll bring you into a new covenant, a covenant of grace established by my blood, whereby you will never again be judged and measured by God according to how good you are. But you will forevermore be measured by God by how good I am, and I give it to you. Now, you think it's good news we're not under the law anymore? That's pretty good. Now, again, let me just reiterate this. You have license to sin, but it's not okay to. Is that clear enough? Can I tell you? It's not okay to sin. It is not okay to live lives less than godliness and holiness and purity. That's not okay. But you don't get there by obeying the law. You get there by the Holy Spirit in you, firing up in you a desire to protect the heart of your father and the heart of your brothers and sisters. And when that happens, listen, the law describes your life. You are a living, walking, breathing example of what the law was intended to bring and could not bring because there was no life in it. But Jesus, sending the Holy Spirit, sent life into us so that as we live what the law was supposed to be a picture of to begin with. I like it. I'm telling you, listen, if we get this, where were we going? Oh, here we go, Romans 7. Paul's talking about this whole thing of being free from the law. I'm going to read this, we're going to pray, and I'm going to run. No, here's the deal. Here's what Paul says. Listen. Since I'm speaking to those who understand law, brothers, are you unaware that the law has authority over someone as long as he lives? For example, a married woman is legally bound to her husband while he lives, but if her husband dies, she is released from the law regarding the husband. So then if she gives herself to another man while her husband is living, she'll be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law. Then if she gives herself to another man, she's not an adulteress. Listen to me. Do you know what we've done? Everybody, Paul is explaining what it means that in Jesus we have died to the law and now we're free to live in grace. But what we've done is we have yanked that right out of chapter 7 and we've made our own laws about who can get remarried and who can't. God have mercy on us. And we have said, you know what, I can't go to your wedding, but I can't go to your second wedding. I know you're getting remarried, but I can't go because you have a divorce in your background. And, you know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7 that the only reason you get married again is if you're widowed. So, you know, I'm sorry your ex-husband didn't die. How did we get here? How did we get to this place where we're wishing people had died so that we could feel better about their spouse getting remarried? You know, I'm not kidding. This is serious stuff. We have made laws and we watch. Oh, mercy. We have taken a law that was not a law, that we've made a law, and then we have said to other people who are divorced, we've said, well, here, let me measure your life by the new law. Oh, you don't measure up. It says right here, you don't measure up. Sorry, nothing I can do about it. I didn't say it, God said it. It's not what he said. If Paul walked into any of our churches that were preaching that, his head would explode. He would say, wait a minute, whoa, didn't you read the whole letter? Did you not read what was around it? I was just using that as an illustration of the fact that you're not under the law. And you took my illustration of not being under the law and you made a new law out of it. How in the world did you do that? How did you get there? You see how crazy this is? We did the same thing with Jesus' teachings. We've done the same thing. This is why Peter says, you know what people do? Peter's reminding a church that he writes to. He says, hey, there are people who twist the writings of Paul as they do all the other scriptures. And we're doing it today. So, all right, here's the point. All that was introduction. Here's point one. No, here's the point of this. Because part of this, if we are going to really live in and receive and enjoy and use the full benefits of the new covenant, we got to get rid of the old wineskin of making laws where there were no laws and requiring people to live under laws where a law has not been. We got to get out from under the law. Until then, I'll be honest, I believe this with all my heart. Until we get rid of that old wineskin of being under the law and letting God reveal to us where we have been under the law and we didn't think we were. See, we've been saying for years, I am free to run, I'm free to dance, I'm free. But what we've tried to do is there are areas in our lives where we have still acted like we're under the law. We just didn't realize that's what we were doing. And so we've tried to hold the new wine in that old wineskin, and it keeps running out. It keeps bursting and running out the seams because we hadn't gotten rid of the old wineskin. You know, I believe what God is in the process of doing, at least in this church right now, is He is shredding the old wineskin so that He can give us a new wineskin. Then He's going to fill it with wine. Let me tell you something. Whew. You think we're getting revelation now? God is about to give us a wineskin that He's going to fill with revelation that we have never dreamed possible. Yeah. I'm telling you. I mean, I'm talking about life and power. I think God is ready to just unlock the heavens. But He cannot do it for us if we're trying to hold it in the old wineskin. Listen, if God is going to take His revelation and give it to us and we're going to make a new law out of it, why in the world would He give it to us? You think Paul would have written what he did about this thing of marriage and dying and remarriage? You think he would have written that if he knew what we were going to do with that? I bet if Paul could look 2,000 years down the road, he'd been writing that and said, oh, wait. You know, they're going to take this and make another law, and then they're going to judge some people by that. I can't write that. I've got to come up with another illustration. I think he had no idea what we were going to do with that. Jesus didn't die to set you free from a law you couldn't keep, just to give you another law that you couldn't keep. And you can tweet that if you want, those of you on Twitter. You can Facebook that. Here's the thing. You understand? I think we're going to say this probably different ways every week until we get it. Because I don't know about you, I don't want to live in any less than the fullness of the new covenant. And honestly, I stand here today and I can tell you that I don't even know what all that means. It is so big, I don't have any idea what all that means, but I want it. And so what's happening is the same thing as God revealing an orphan heart in us, where we're saying, okay, you know what, when God reveals that I've had an orphan heart, orphan thinking, thank God, I don't feel condemned. I just thank God He's revealing it so I don't have to think that way anymore. When the Lord reveals where I've been up under the law, where I've been creating new laws and trying to hold people to a law and trying to evaluate them and judge them and based on their obedience to whatever I think God said, listen, when I do that, I'm just creating new law. So when God shows me where I've been doing that, I just thank God He's revealing it so I don't have to do that anymore. Because I'm free. See, guys, the good news is not, okay, you get to go sin. The good news is there's nothing to keep you from living a holy life. This is why, let me say this. I love it. Honestly, I never knew what this part of this verse meant. I never did. But now I'm starting to see it. In Galatians 5, when Paul's writing about the fruit of the Spirit, he said, okay, the works of the flesh are these. Now, you know what walking in the flesh is? Being under the law. You know what walking by the Spirit is? Living as if I'm not under the law. Free to live a life that brings pleasure to my Father. But what we've tried to do is we've tried to define walking by the Spirit while we're still trying to live under the law. And so this is why there's about 1,000 umpteen gazillion definitions of walking by the Spirit, depending on whose book you read or whose sermon you're. But we've been trying to understand it while we're still living up under the law and couldn't do it. But where Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he says, listen, he said, I'm going to tell you what the fruit of the Spirit is. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he says what? Against such, there is no law. In other words, when this stuff comes, when you live like this, you ain't breaking the law. When you live this way, you are fulfilling the law. You're living what the law was meant to try to get us to live anyway. Against such, there's no law. You are free to live that way. Shh. Yeah, some stuff coming into focus. Okay. Well, here's what I want to do today. Here's how we're going to dismiss, okay? I want to just kind of give an invitation. First of all, we have some elders and wives, prayer team. In fact, whether you're prayer team or elder and wife, I want you to come and make yourself available down at the front here. Here's what we're going to do. You can come on down. As we dismiss, I want to encourage you. There are many of you here today who came here hoping that somebody would pray for you. And we have people ready to pray for you. But here's what I want to do. As they line up here, it's just a simple prayer today, okay? When we dismiss, if there's anything that you want any of these to pray for you about, let them pray for you. You might want to just come say, listen, would you pray for me that God would just nail this down in my heart? The Lord would just make this real in me. Here's what I invite you, and I don't always do this. So if you're new here today, know that this is unusual. I don't always do this. Rarely do we do this. But I want to do this today. I want to invite you, if it's in your heart for the Lord to even the things you're hearing, whatever you're able to grasp onto, even if things, listen, so Wednesday night at our Bible study, we're talking about all this stuff, and I felt like I was drinking from a fire hydrant. And I actually had a little panic attack thinking, how am I going to remember all this? How am I going to hold it? Where are we going to put it? How are we going to organize it? How are we going to talk about all this? So if there's anything that you're grasping that is life to you in this, and you know there's more life, then I want to invite you just to come and not so much get with one of these couples right now, but just come fill this whole place down here. Just come and stand here if you would. I just want to pray over all of us and pray with you. So if there's anything in you, come on now, that you just want to ask the Lord to cement this in you and to just to take all of this, whatever life there is, and multiply it. I just want to invite you just to come stand down front. Y'all just come on up as far as you can and make room. The people come in behind you. And again, please understand, I know this doesn't mean that if you don't come down, you don't want it. Okay? You know why? Because I'm not going to judge you according to that law. We're not going to make a law that says, if you don't come, you ain't obeying God. Please, you see what we've done? God have mercy. I mean, we can swing. Hey, y'all, do you know what this is? Those of you who've been here for a while, Deeper Lifers, you know what this is? I realized the other day. You know what it is? Tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. Same thing. I'm going to revisit that again soon because it's bigger than I thought. So, now I'm going to invite the rest of you just to stand where you are, if you would. If you'll just stand there and in as much as in your hearts, everybody, listen, I believe there is a benefit to, you know, putting ourselves bodily out there sometimes and saying, God, I'm leaving stuff behind. I'm going after you. That's a good thing. But for all of you, no matter where you are in this room, in as much as you want the Lord just to multiply this in your heart, then I want to encourage you just to join us in this, okay? So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. And as we're dismissed, if you want any of these couples to pray for you, they will do that, all right? Oh, Father. Father, I am overwhelmed again. I feel like I will never be able to plumb the depths. We won't be able to plumb the depths of your grace. In fact, boy, I just feel like this must have been what Paul was talking about when he was talking about the unsearchable riches of Christ. So, Lord, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for not letting us stay under the law. Thank you for your revelation that sets us free to live holy, godly, pure lives, that sets us free to live lives of power and passion and purity. God, thank you for that. Lord, we're not deceived today to think that just because we're not obligated to the law that it's okay to sin. But you've set us free now. And so, Lord, I believe we're going to be experiencing more and more freedom than we've ever known before, as we learn not to live under the law. God, I believe that as we move forward in being free from the law, we will, by the very nature of it, be moving further into grace. We will discover more about grace even as we refuse to live under the law. So Lord, today we're asking you, God, every one of us, we are holding out to you our old wineskin. We say, Father, shred it. God, just chop it up, get rid of it, turn it into dust and blow it away. Father, we don't want the old wineskin. We don't want to live under the law. We don't want to make other people live under our laws. We don't want to read laws into the scripture that were not laws to begin with and make other people measure up to something that they could not measure up to anyway. Jesus, we believe you did not die to set us free from a law we couldn't keep just to give us another law we could not keep. So thank you for giving us an internal law of love. Oh, God, thank you. You didn't give us a law to keep. You gave us a love that keeps us. You have given us a love that keeps us. So we thank you. Now, Lord, we're just asking you to complete this thing in us. God, reveal to us, to every one of us individually, reveal to us how each of us have lived under the law and made other people live under a law that we didn't even know we were doing. God, show it to us so that we can walk in our freedom from it. As soon as we see it, we know we're free from it. We're not asking you to set us free from that law. We're already free. We're asking you to reveal to us where we have been walking under the law so that we don't have to walk under that anymore. Thank you for what you do. God, thank you for the freedom that's here. I sense it. I feel freedom building every week. Freedom is building. The momentum is building. The new covenant is coming in power to us. It's already here, but you are going to be bringing us into a realization of what is already ours that has lain dormant in our hearts because we have kept it under the law. God, take the lid off. Lord, we're praying now. Take off the lid. Let us live in the full, explosive freedom that you died for us to have. We love you, we bless you, and we welcome your word, we welcome your spirit, we welcome your freedom, we welcome your deliverance, we welcome all that you want to do. Now, God, do it all. In Jesus' name, amen.